Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Hey, MLW is back. We got War Chamber Part 2, Electric Boogaloo, two title matches to be had, plus the second War Chamber matchup, so plenty to go over this here evening. But first, of course, as always, we have some news. MLW has announced its next big event over the summer, appropriately titled Summer of the Beasts. Hey, you know, it's no Great Balls of Fire, but, you know, at least we got something going on. But they are making their return to the Melrose Ballroom in New York City. It's been a bit since they've been there, and that is going to be happening August 29th of this coming year. So, you know, handful of months from now, 4 or 5 months, nobody's been announced for the show quite yet, but of course, plenty of time to do so. Once that happens, yeah, we'll announce it on this here show. In the meanwhile, though, we have some more matchups from Azteca Lucha, or MLW Azteca, the May 11th show in Cicero, Illinois, at the Cicero Stadium. Well, I guess they're calling it Chicago, so it's Chicago. Whatever, man. But three new matchups. I just have them in various sources sitting here in my hand. The first of which is our favorite fast food breakfast sandwich. We'll be taking on Josh Bishop. Spoiler alert, evidently WTF hasn't been entirely annihilated at this point, as Bishop is arguably getting one of the biggest matches of his career, and certainly probably his biggest MLW match for this here show. It also has been announced that Cozy Max will be taking on the Second Gear crew for the MLW Tag Team Championships. Tirade, whole tirade on that here in a minute, but yeah, the titles have been vacated, and This is how we're getting tag team champions. Last but not least, we have Trios Action, featuring a batch of the luchadores that had been previously announced for this show, as Promociones Doradas, Atlantis Jr., or excuse me, Atlantis, Jesus Rodriguez, they're letting Jesus wrestle, and Guerrero Maya Jr. takes on Cesar Duran's contingent of Fulano, Virus Enviano III, Junior. Butchered all those names, by the way. I just went out of my way to do so. I figured since I just buggered up Atlantis, might as well just bugger everybody else up. So let's try to get through this the proper way now. Atlantis, Jesus Rodriguez, and Guerrero Maya Jr. will be taking on Felino, Virus, and Viano, number 3, Junior. That is odd when the numbers start having kids. So Viano 3, Junior. This goes into a batch of matches that we've announced previously, of course being headlined by the MLW World Middleweight Championship, as Místico defends against Barbaro Cavanario. Atlantis Jr. takes on Ultimo Guerrero, and Star Jr. and Fuego battle Magnus and Averno. So that card is shaping up to be quite fun. In addition, we got some extra names that haven't been attached to any matches yet, and these include Sammy Callahan, who I thought was facing Matt Riddle because they issued a challenge on YouTube last week, but guess not. Contra's scheduled to appear, Janai Kai, Ricky Shane Page, of course, Cesar Duran and Selena De La Renta. Hey, Jake Chris is coming back, sweet deal. Delmi, Exo, and Zeta all scheduled to appear as well on the BN Sports portion of the show. So yeah, I referenced the tag team titles. Yeah, it has been announced this week that the titles have been vacated. Spoiler alert, I am going to assume it's been nearly a week, at least, even at the time of this recording. By the time this podcast drops, it's been nearly a week since War Chamber 2 came out. And during the course of the broadcast, half of WTF got attacked by Contra at various points in the show. Most notably, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Filthy Tom Lawler, who was referenced to have been taken to a local medical facility and is in their intensive care unit, which scares me. That they got him into ICU so fast. But yeah, because of this, the championship committee, in lieu of Court Bauer, because he's also been injured as well, have chosen to strip of WTF of the titles. I'm confused. I'm going to talk about things kayfabe, and then we'll talk about IRL. I'll neckbeard it up for you guys. Like, kayfabe-wise, the storyline-wise, like, well, I'm curious why can't Mr. St. Laurent, like, try to get in the Freebird rule there, because, like, obviously not all of WTF has been taken out yet, because Josh Bishop's still alive, Brett Ryan Gosling is around, too. But yeah, sure, Filthy Tom, and then spoiler alert, David Boy Smith and Richard Holiday, those three have been taken out. But, you know, you think like a really good promoter would be able to swing a deal, get a Freebird rule in there, so it's like any member of WTF can, you know, defend the belts at any time. But I guess MSL, Mr. St. Laurent, is just not on his game this time around, letting that one slip through the cracks. But the neckbeard of me, this, like, upsets me greatly. Some just general purpose yelling at Cloud stuff, and then others, like, logistically. Like, come on, man. You have your guys. You have guys either under contract or agreed to appear for X number of shows. So unless either Davey Boy Smith or Tom Lawlor are injured, which if like I've never heard anything confirming any real life injuries for either of those, how do you just let this go? Like, how do you not have these guys under some sort of deal while holding your championship, or at least an agreement for X number of dates if you're not going to give them, like, a proper contract? Like, so you should be aware of when people are leaving the company, and you shouldn't need to do, like, this weird injury angle to take people out. Like, yes, I know it can put people over, but, like, MLW really likes their, people be attacked by groups and then they never appear again. And so, like, this is kind of a trope in MLW, which then, like, I roll my eyes whenever I see it happen, whether it's actually the case or not. But, you know, like, again, you, like, know whether guys are going to be coming back or not. Why would you keep the championships on those folks? Like, use them to actually put over someone else on the way out the door. Like, obviously, neither of them have, you know, any issues losing. They've both lost a handful of times since their return, Tom Lawlor most notably, but, like, I don't understand it. And then I secondarily don't understand it, like, when they literally defended the titles at War Chamber Part 2. Like, they literally won a tag team title match, and now they're being stripped of the championship. Like, so if they, like, there's a contract issue in there, like, you had an easy out. Like, right then and there, you had an easy out. You give the Beaumayers the title, and you're good. Like, even if you don't want to have the Beaumayers keep the championship long term, that's fine, you know, but they can win it at that show, and then the next taping, you know, some shenanigans with AJ Francis, and boom, titles are off, and it's fine. But, like, instead we just got this wacky, like, vacant thing going on. And then going into it, we also have, you know, a match for the tag team championships. So, like, the titles won't be vacated long, so that's a good thing. But, you know, it's going to be the Second Gear Crew versus Cozy Max. And outside of my hatred of the one called Manders, there's, like, I don't have a problem with the Second Gear Crew being in the championship match. They were the previous champions. They didn't get their rematch. You know, they've earned it. And maybe we'll get to see Bill Alfonso, daddy, in the corner of the Second Gear Crew as well. I don't know. We'll see. But, like, where is Wasted Youth? Weren't they the number one contenders for the tag team championship? Didn't they win, like, a special, like, multi-team, you know, scramble match to win a number one contendership? And they did nothing. They just wrestled in a couple of trios matches, took part in a six-man scramble, and then nothing. Like, no one's referenced them again. No talk about tag team championship matches, etc. So, like, where's your continuity on that one, folks? I don't know. And then secondly, like, the concept of Cozy Max going for the championships. Like, I say this, and mind you, you know, if you've listened to the show before, you know, like, that I am a big Satoshi Kojima fan. I am a card-carrying member of the Bread Club. But, like, I hate the concept of dual champions. Like, I feel like that, like, kind of cheapens one of the two belts. or like leads into like weird storyline loopholes that you have to like really wrap your head around and think about things way too hard for them to make sense. But like Kojima is the world heavyweight champion, man. Like Kojima should have his hands full, like preparing and dealing with challengers for his World Heavyweight Championship. Like he shouldn't have time to like hang out with his buddies and challenge for the tag team titles. It just kind of like it makes the like it makes him shirk his duties as a World Heavyweight Champion. Like him going after the tag belts or title defenses that he could be having to help bolster the World Heavyweight Championship. And then like two, go along with it, like supposing Cozy Mac's win. Like now we got, well, especially in Kojima's case, we got a 50-plus-year-old man doing like faux double duty championship wise. And so like one championship is going to have to be on the back burner just because like Lord knows he's not performing in like two full scale matches each card. Like yeah, we kind of got it at War Chamber, but like as spoiler, like his appearances like were not that long. But like, yeah, what? Where is a tag division? Like MLW doesn't have much in the line of a tag division, just because they let things slip through their fingers, or like they just, I don't know, just are rebranding again. And I just don't understand like how we get to this point like without some sort of booking forethought to it. Again, like I have no problems with the four competitors in this coming match. It's just the everything else surrounding it that bothers me. And I say this as, a huge Kojima fan as well, but like I don't think this is good optics for a company that's already like kind of having problems with its optics, whether it's questionable signings, their commentary team members making questionable comments, they even picked up flack for Kojima winning the championship, which I don't necessarily agree with, but it's still a potential public relations black eye in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, so titles have been stripped. I don't really know why. And Cozy Max and the Second Gear crew are going to put on, I assume it'll be a good match. Like it's, those the four guys can go. But yeah, just the entire booking about it is weird to me and just kind of irks me. Kind of irks me and rubs me the wrong way, if you will. But yeah, so got myself worked up. Maybe got you worked up too. Let's take a break. Let's go get an energy drink or whatever it is you do while I take a break. I'll be back with War Chamber Part 2. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So also, be like Cass, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. War Chamber 2, Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. We are welcome to the show by Joe Dombrowski, Christian Cole, running down the card here for tonight. Cesar Duran is out to start the show proper. He brings out Virus. He is going to have a match with Star Jr., brought to you by Selena De La Renta. So we're going to start things off with some lucha action. But first, we get footage of Cesar Duran talking with someone that is being identified as Selena De La Renta's mother. Just randomly, like, that's Selena's mom and Cesar. Don't know what they're talking about. Doesn't really look like, someone it could be Selena's mom either, but I guess age is only a number, especially when you get hit by the makeup gun, but whatever. Let's further this storyline in a left field fashion, shall we? Anywho, we have match inside the ring, an extended feeling out process with the lucha standoff. Interesting, like a little pinfall. It's almost like a variation of German souple, kind of bridge pinfall, except there wasn't a German souple. And then Star Jr. actually kind of like bridges out of it on top of his head to get out. Get a little bit of a strike battle after everything's said and done. Everyone just leaves one ring and wanders over to the next because, of course, this is the War Chamber setup, so there's two rings next to each other. Ref doesn't seem to care, doesn't seem to mind, just everyone's going to the other ring now, and that's where we're having the match. All right, cool beans. If everyone else is down for it, I guess that's what we're gonna do. Again, lots of quick back and forth action. Quesadora by Star Jr. gets two. Come back after a brief interlude from Virus. Hits a diving double stomp followed by a leg arm surfboard type submission to get the victory. This match was just like pretty darn quick. In terms of just like, I mean, just how fast it went by. There were just, we are wrestling, we're chaining, we're in the next ring, a quick heat spot, and now the match is over. So I don't know what happened there. Like, it was a quick serviceable match. Gonna go along with it. I do question just like wandering into the next ring without anybody saying anything. Commentary didn't like further relate anything off that either. They're just like, guess we're gonna have a match over here now. I guess that's what the ref's doing. So we're cool. So that's what we're doing. Match is cool. That's what we did. Okay. Backstage, Mr. Saint Laurent was back, is in with the, wow, I butchered that sentence up real good. If I edited it, I'd totally edit it out, but instead, we're just gonna keep going with it. MSL is backstage with the World Tag Team Champions, Filthy Tom Lawler and Davey Boy Smith Jr. They are defending the belts against the Beaumier Fight Club tonight. Tom Lawler calls out Beaumier, like, who'd they ever beat? Obviously forgetting that Alex Kane, as world champ, has run through most of the, WTF roster over the course of his title reign, but you know, who's keeping count of that? In another area, outdoors, Bill Alfonso with Matthew Justice, like, I don't know, it was kind of like a nothing burger of a promo. Ultimately, we do get a call out of Contra, and I guess Bill Alfonso is now the manager of Matthew Justice, so that's also a thing going on, I guess. We'll see how long this actually lasts. Speaking of things, and we question how long they're going to last, Bud Heavy is making his return to MLW more than a year since we've last seen him. He's gotten himself a haircut. He's no longer dyeing his hair, at least bleach blonde anyway. And he is going to be fighting Brett Ryan Goslin with Mr. Saint Laurent. BRG attacks like right at the bell. Sweet victory clothesline followed up by the key to victory, which is a fisherman's neck breaker for the three count. Yeah, this match was like maybe 2 minutes tops and we are done. Didn't get like any sort of like swan song, didn't get any sort of, you know, applause is not the right word. Encore, that is the word we're looking for. No encore, nothing, just that's it. Joe goes to interview BRG with MSL. BRG is going straight to the top and then just attacks Bud Heavy again, because that's what you do with Bud Heavy. There's our encore. So that was also a nothing burger of a match. Bud Heavy, though, still surprisingly over with the MLW crowd, despite not being seen in over a year. Brett Ryan Goslin gets a televised win to show off his batch of viciousness and a little bit of character work after the match as well. But that was ridiculously quick going on with that. Backstage, Selena and her mother are celebrating. How? Selena gives off like a list of ways to do so. You know, going on a cruise, going shopping at Gucci. Her mom recommends ripping off the balls of Cesar Duran. That escalated quickly. Even Selena's like, okay, that's a thing, that's what we're doing, okay, yeah, sounds great, let's go do that, Ma, and we all leave confused. Our next match, when we get a little bit more time, kind of, sort of, not really, is the Beaumier Fight Club challenging WTF for the Tag Team Championships. Of course, this WTF formation is Filthy Tom Lawler and Davey Boy Smith Jr. The Beaumier Fight Club is the what's left of the true Beaumier Fight Club, Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas. Flop Dollar himself, AJ Francis, is out on commentary. Lawler misses the charge, like, almost right off the bat, allowing the Beaumier's takeover. Get a nifty tandem overhead belly-to-belly suplex play into like a cannonball in the corner on Tom Lawler. Tom Lawler does a capitalizes the word I was looking for there. Tom Lillard capitalizes on Davey Boy Smith Jr. distraction. Davey Boy tags in, starts working over the legs of Alex Kane. Tom Lillard assists with a variation of the trailer hitch maneuver. TL is tagged back in and locks in a figure four leg lock. Mr. Thomas gets the hot tag in and he's cleaning house. He hits a diving crossbody on both members of WTF, followed up by top rope Topek on Elo. Alex Kane wakes up and also assists, hitting a suicide dive on his efforts, but then goes out and takes his eye off the prize, goes after AJ Francis, and while the ref's confused by everything that's going on, Mr. St. Laurent slides one of the tag belts into the ring, and as Mr. Thomas picks up Tom Lawler to go for a power bomb, TL donks him on the head, and that is how we're ending that there match. 1, 2, 3, your winners and still MLW Tag Team Champions, WTF, matey. After the match, Alex Kane gets upset, has a chair, and just runs everybody off backstage. That was also kind of an interesting little match as well. Beaumier takes another loss, but at least it wasn't Alex Kane doing the losing, but totally taking his eye off the prize by going after AJ Francis on that front. And of course, WTF still had to cheat to win with the donking via title belt. Backstage, WTF are celebrating their victory when they're confronted by Cozy Max. Kojima, you know, accuses St. Laurent of having the new MLW Heavyweight Championship belt, which St. Laurent does, and noted that he makes sweet love to it every night. Or, excuse me, he just sleeps with it, but Tom Lawler totally just took it as makes sweet love, so that is a thing, that is canon now. But Cozy Max, in addition to coming back for the new World Heavyweight Championship, are now coming for the Tag Team Championships as well. Good thing Davey Boy Smith Jr. can speak Japanese, huh? Anywho, due to the Bud Heavy BRG match, that ended early, so they have a pre-taped match of Sofia Castillo making her MLW debut versus Zeta Still. Selena De La Renta is on commentary, and like, as Zeta comes to the ring, she runs down the crowd. Selena runs down the entire women's division throughout the entire match. We start off with some back and forth action with Castillo hanging Zeta on the ropes, kind of like hotshot stunner style. Fight around the ring a little bit, but as they go back in the ring, we get a rope assisted lung blower by Zeta. Only gets 2 count off of that. We get a tornado DDT for 2, and I have in my notes that tornado is air quotes because somebody, whether it was Zeta or Castillo, forgot to spin with that tornado DDT, and so it was just kind of like a push-off second rope DDT, which, I mean, can be effective, but it wasn't effective enough to get the 3. Zeta hits a slow-running big boot, followed by Snapmare out of the corner, chinlock. Castillo fires up until we get a double down off a pump kick. Both women down, thanks to dual pump kicks, which I do love to see. I always pop for that spot. Actually, one of my favorite things in the UFC video games is just kicking each other in the face at the exact same time and dropping. Anywho, but back to the match at hand. Castillo fires up again. She goes for a Falcon Arrow? Question mark? She just, I don't know if it was like a Falcon Arrow or a Jeff Hardy front suplex slam thing. But either way, it was bowling shoe ugly, to borrow a phrase from Jim Ross. But only gets 2 count for that because, well, obviously wasn't a Falcon Arrow, so it didn't do the deed, and, you know, no one actually kicks out of the Falcon Arrow. Zeta the stomps on Castillo's head, gets a 2 count off of that, just big stomp. Trade holds back and forth real quick before Zeta locks in the I'm Prettier Tomokazi to get the victory. That was certainly a match. I don't know what the purpose of, like, the whole, like, this match was announced for the show, and now it's just magically a pre-taped match because the Bud Heavy match went short. So I'm, like, confused as to, like, what happened there. Like, Selena was out in commentary, and there was no interaction between Zeta and Selena. And all Selena did, once again, is just crap all over the featherweight division, which I hate, because it doesn't do anything for your competitor. Like, if there's no competition, you know, oh no, like, well, you know, what does that make your champion if there's no competition, if all everyone you face is just a sucker? And that doesn't mean when your champion actually loses to one of those folks. Or is MLW going to bring in another surprise person to take the title off of, Jinai Kai? So that was all, like, I hate that. I hate that a lot, actually. Like, you should always be, like, indirectly putting your opponents over, even as a heel. Like, yeah, you don't necessarily have to praise them, but give them the backhanded compliments, because, you know, I've said it before in this show, and I've said it on other shows, you know, if everybody's garbage, who did you beat? You beat garbage. If everybody's garbage and you lose to one of them, you just lost to garbage, and what does that make you? It doesn't put over any of your people to totally, like, bury everyone else. And that's what Selena's been doing on commentary, like, her entire run back with the company. She's just, you know, just poops on everyone. And so, like, no one actually comes off looking better off for Selena's being, for Selena talking, even though Selena's actually a wonderful talker. It's just, the quality of the things that are coming out of her mouth right now aren't always the greatest. The match itself, speaking of things that were, that aren't always the greatest, this certainly was a match. Like, I am not sure, like, as I said, I'm not sure what the, like, what we were trying to achieve out of this match, because, like, Zeta didn't look great in this match, because the debuting Castillo, like, got, like, a lot of offense in. So I'm, like, hoping Castillo comes back, because if she doesn't, like, this is just random. Like, this is just random. And we had a competitive match with someone of, like, who's making their debut that isn't well known outside of the Florida area to just come in, have a, well, and the match, like, it didn't click. Like this was not one of Zeta's best matches, and it wasn't that impressive off Castillo, in my humble opinion. But went on, like, way too long for, like, I don't know, to put Zeta over. Like, I'm not saying it should have been 100% squash, but, like, they took up too much time with it. And then, of course, like, again, like, this was a backup match that we already taped. Like, dude, you guys promoted it as part of, like, the card. Like, we've known about this match for, like, a month now, but, like, oh, this was a backup match. Like, I know it's pre-taped, so, like, blah, 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 but, like, you didn't have to, you could just, like, flat out have said, like, okay, here's our backup match. Like, why does it have to be pre-taped? But whatever, man. I like, now I'm pooping all over the product, so when, you know, somebody beats me, like, it meant nothing. So, moving on from there, though, we have a Death Fighters / Response promo. I guess they're the Death Fighters now instead of the Response. Maybe they figured out that was kind of a lame name. But they are going to put an end to the calling tonight because they are going to war with Raven nevermore. We also get a promo video for the WTF Hotline. It is the exact same ones that we've seen before 5,000 times, but I will once again note that I want to play trivia with Tom Lawler, because that sounds like a lot of fun, because he's a giant nerd when he's not kicking people in the head and making them tap out. And then, of course, Fridays is Get Screamed At by Josh Bishop, which also sounds enthusiastically enticing as well. Anywho, yeah, so that aside, I am told Timothy Thatcher made his return just to be jobbed out once again, so sad face there. I don't know, I missed it, my monitor went out. Gorilla has to tell me about all of everything on there, but I was notified that our fast food breakfast sandwich friend is entering the battle riot so he can get on the fast track to winning the MLW World Heavyweight Championship, and the peasants cried. Backstage, Contra is attacking Richard Holiday. So now Contra is targeting WTF folks. So we'll see if anything comes out of that. In the meanwhile, Selena De La Renta presents Bad Dude Tita, who finally has a winning record in MLW, earning himself a championship match. So he is at least one step above me in the rankings somehow. But he is challenging Satoshi Kojima for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. We start the match off with shoulder tackles and big dude moves, just going back and forth, some strikes. Kojima dodges a charge in the corner, allowing him to start utilizing those machine gun chops. Tito, though, stops the momentum with a deadly drive. Kojima goes up to the top rope, and Tito just grabs him by the groin and tosses him off the top. German suplex by Tito gets a two count, followed up by a big frog splash. Impressive agility for the big man. Only gets two off that, though. Kojima lands himself a DDT and a cutter. Only gets two for that. Tito blocks one lariat and hits himself an F5. Only gets a two count off that. Tito bounces off the ropes, and a flash lariato by Kojima finishes off Bad Dude Tito, your winner, and still MLW World Heavyweight Champion Satoshi Kojima. This match was short and sweet overall. Like, I did enjoy it, though. Just two guys just clubbered each other, so I'm down for that. Tito showing that, you know, he can hang with Kojima. Kojima still working injured, especially according to commentary. And I did think it was weird that, that commentary put over that Kojima was too injured to go on tour in Japan, but MLW cleared him. And I'm not sure if that's an indictment of MLW or not. Like, oh, we cleared this guy, no one else would. Like, I'm not sure that's the flex you meant it to be. But I mean, either way, Kojima moved well enough, so the match was decent enough for what it was. Showed Tito can hang. Kojima got himself another notch in his belt as a two-time MLW heavyweight champion. We get footage. Backstage, Contra is attacking Davey Boy Smith Jr. We get a commercial break, and we also get notification that Filthy Tom Lawler has been sent to the hospital via Contra attack as well. So, like, we are really going to see, like, an escalation of these Contra attacks. I'm curious to see, like, where we're going from here and if there'll be any sort of repercussions from WTF. And especially since they referenced both Davey Boy and Tom Lawler going to the hospital, if there's going to be any sort of, like, phantom title switching to go along kind of off that. But so far, Contra's just sending everybody to the hospital. They done sent WTF in the hospital. Court Bowers allegedly still in the hospital from his Contra attack. So there's just this weird ass power vacuum in MLW because Contra just gets to do whatever they want. But at least they brought in Kira Kwan, so at least there's one less nameless ghoul running about. Speaking of nameless ghoul types, folks, it is time for, I believe it's time for our main event. I switched the wrong page. Yes. It is time for our main event. The Death Fighters / Response, which consists of Jimmy Lloyd, Jake Crist, Akira, and Raven taking on The Calling, being represented by Ricochet and Paige, Sami Callihan, Dr. Cornwallis making his return, and Jeff Cannonball. This is a War Chamber match, the second War Chamber match of the tapings. So it follows, like, War Game rules. So for those of you not familiar with, two teams of four people to start, and then after a 5-minute period, a team wins the coin toss, and they send someone out, and they have the advantage for, like, 2 minutes. Then the other team sends a guy out to even the odds, and we do this back and forth until all 8 people are in the ring. Then the match beyond begins, and the match can end via pinfall, submission, or surrender. So up until all 8 competitors are in the ring, match cannot end. Looks like we're going to start out with Jake Crist and Sami Callihan. The two of them go right at it, and Jake is sent through the door, so it's glad to see that the door was, locked up properly to keep people from getting in, because Jake's face didn't stop him from going out. So he is bleeding early. They fight outside of the cage for a bit before going back inside. Once we're back inside, Callihan has procured a fork and is just stabbing away before body slamming Jake on the barbed wire as we get the announcement, the alarm, meaning our next person's coming to the ring. And it looks like the response, the Death Fighters have won the coin toss, which is weird because usually the heels win the coin toss. And Akira is coming out and is promptly attacked by The Calling. Commentary is outraged, like, this is against the rules, but obviously no one's enforcing the rules, so is it really cheating? What's the ref going to do? Disqualify him? If they're not going to do it, then I guess it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so it's going to stay one-on-one as Akira's just dead in the entranceway. We get the standard paper cut spots, all that sort of good stuff, as Ricochet and Paige is out next. He beats down Akira on the way to the ring, starting the blood for Akira. We get the 2-on-1 advantage inside the ring for The Calling. However, Ricky accidentally hits Callihan with a trash can lid as Akira gets in the ring. Jake hits a stunner out of a Sioux play, and Akira hits a big running drop kick, knocking RSP through a door. Jimmy Lloyd is in, and after a brief flurry of offense, he is taken out. Akira can't be hit by thrown chairs, so they have to go take care of him like themselves, hands-on Ricochet Page and Sami Callihan, though, like it's quasi-effective until Jake Crist wakes up and allows the response to take over for a bit. Jeff Cannonball and a bag full of thumbtacks come out, but we won't see those for a little bit. Jimmy Lloyd is bleeding in the cage. Tiger Driver 91 by Cannonball on Lloyd. Cannonball is then wrapped in barbed wire. Goes up to the top rope and trust falls through Akira, who happens to be conveniently placed on a table. So that looked like it hurt. Cannonball's a big effing dude, man. Raven is out with a titty twister shirt. I just thought that was pertinent to note that Raven is wearing a titty twister shirt. But that is the last person for the Death Fighters out, which means there's going to be one more person for the Calling to come out. But Raven is out with a kendo stick. He dinks everyone in the head very lightly, very gingerly, of course. Get a double drop toe hold on the chair on Cannonball by Raven and Jake Crist. It's one of Raven's old standard spots, if you're not familiar with his work back when he was mobile. Dr. Cord Wallace makes his return. He is out with a chain. It is time for the match beyond now. The match can end via pinfall, submission, basically any other way you want that's not DQ or count out. Dr. Cornwallis looks still a big dude, but looks to have lost some weight. In one ring, Jimmy Lloyd is suplexed into an open chair by Sami Callihan. Callihan goes for the pin, and there's only one ref in, like, the cage in general, despite there being two rings, and the ref just doesn't realize it exists, and showing infinite bias, of course, refuses to count the pinfall for Sami Callihan. Cannonball eats a cutter into the thumbtacks, like the thumbtacks make their opinion appearance. Akira has a bunch of thumbtacks shoved in his mouth, and it just gets a straight right cross to the face. Probably is going to be pooping some thumbtacks for a bit after that. Oh, lordy. Everyone gets gathered up as friend of the show, Jake Crist, dives off the top of the cage itself with a diving cross body. Everybody scatters like bowling pins. Sammy and Cornwallis leave the cage to go get themselves some tables. At one point, Cornwallis is unmasked. his mask comes totally off. I don't know who it is, though. I'm not familiar with whomever it was unmasked. The rumor mill always says it's, like, Dr. Dax, but I've not seen Dr. Dax unmasked either, so ultimately it means next to nothing to me. He has a cinder block chucked into a trash can that happens to be conveniently placed in between his legs. Where were we going on that one? But yeah, mask it puts back on because the mask stays on during sex, much like Fuego's cowboy hat. So we got more tables in the ring. Akira is sandwiched between two tables as Ricochet and Page goes to the top rope. He goes for his diving senton. He misses and crashes through both tables. Akira locks in a crossface that is assisted with a kendo stick when Jimmy Lloyd tosses him some barbed wire and locks Sami Callihan in a crossface of his own. Ricochet and Page has no choice but to tap. Your winners, the Death Fighters. After the match, Akira gets the mic. He declares the Calling to be dead, and he puts over, you know, the blood and guts and pro wrestling. Like, those are the three things he loves in the world. Blood, guts, and pro wrestling. Also, conveniently, he loves MLW. Starts an MLW chant. Raven gets the mic. He starts, quote the Raven, nevermore chant with the crowd. As we go backstage, well, to the parking lot, as we see Selena and her mother walking out of the parking lot with Cesar Duran observing in the distance. All right, yeah, so that was War Chamber 2 Electric Boogaloo. I'd say a lot of the undercard, like, I felt flattish, like rushed, like a lot of the matches were pretty short. We had one straight up squash, we had a match that probably should have been a squash. The Tito Kojima match was a lot of fun for as long as it went. The Lucha match, like, should have been longer, I felt. You know, the WTF tag team title match, that told a story. But really, like, the meat of the show was dedicated to War Chamber. And it's going to be polarizing. Like, I'm going to be the first to admit that. You're either going to love the War Chamber or you're going to hate it. And it really kind of just depends on your opinions of the competitors and how you feel about, like, deathmatch wrestling. Like, it didn't go full deathmatch territory, but, like, it was a lot of weapons-based shenanigans. So, like, it was a bit slower. It was a bit more plotting as guys were dinking each other with weapons, setting things up, and doing all sorts of spots like that. So, like, if you hate it, I get it. I definitely understand it. I definitely question, you know, bringing like Raven participating, because really, like, physically he had no business being in the ring, but, like, other than that, like, I'm a fan of death matches. I'm a fan of the hardcore style. We've already established that, like, Akira can go in the ring, not go away. I don't want Akira going away. Jake Crist is an amazing athlete as well, who's in the best shape of his 20-year career. And friend of the show, by the way. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, like, you know, so you have some guys who could go in there. But, you know, there's a lot of blood, a lot of garbage wrestling. So, you know, if you don't like it, I mean, if it's not your bag, you don't like it. That is what it is. And so, unfortunately, though, that means if you didn't like the War Chamber match itself, there wasn't a whole lot else for you on this show outside of allegedly the match where my monitor went out. But, you know, sometimes monitors go out and it makes me sad, because I do enjoy me some Timothy Thatcher. In the meanwhile, though, like, and we also got, like, some weird stuff going on. Like, I don't know what, like, we're going to have to wait and see. But, like, the significance of Selena De La Renta and her mother, like, why is Selena's mom's just, like, showing up? Like, so I'm guessing Cesar is secretly her dad. You've heard it here first. But yeah, in the meanwhile, though, yeah, so it's really kind of like a one-match show, and that one match wasn't going to be for everyone, so you either hated it or you loved it. The rest of the undercard was kind of meh overall, though I am curious to see where we're going to go with Contra, since they're just back to randomly attacking people backstage with a bunch of nameless ghouls overall, but they are going after WTF, which is kind of like one of the major power players in MLW right now. So yeah, that being said, we're going to check out, see where things are going to go here for next month. Next month is Azteca Lucha. I'll be reporting quasi live from there. So we'll see what fun and mischief we'll get into through that in Cicero, Illinois. But in the meanwhile, it's time for me to wander off and, I don't know, do whatever it is I do after these shows. I don't know. I'm probably drunk. Anyway, so I should probably get started on that. In the meanwhile, you know, stay tuned for the plugs and the best way to support this here small podcast, and I'll catch you all next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted by Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network, and you can check them out on the Underground Rundown on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. Background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts. My social media links can be found in the descriptor, but the Twitter and Instagram are at the Nova of Cass, that is THENOVAOFCASS, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment and etc., please check out the tip jar at ko-fi.com/Casanova, or if you prefer some more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova, that is CASSONOVA, whereas for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, The False Prophet, Alexander McCarthy, and Left Tendo, and check it out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. Links will be below. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that is K-A-M-E-R-E-R, at comcast.net. Thank you for listening.